Missing our kids downstairs as well. Before we hop into the message this morning, I want to introduce someone to you that is stepping in to lead a significant ministry in the life of our church, and she's also going to give an announcement this morning about something going on with our partnership with New Hope. So please, would you join me in welcoming Holly Lampson as she comes forward? Please, come forward.
I'm short. Okay. Hi, everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Holly, and I work at New Hope Family Services as a social worker. I've been there for just under 6 years. So New Hope Family Services has two different kind of departments. The first one is a pregnancy resource center, where we serve women and families experiencing unexpected pregnancies. So when people walk into our doors, they can get a pregnancy test. We have limited ultrasound services. They can meet with one-on-one with an advocate and get options counseling, where we talk them through all their options for the pregnancy. If they are planning to carry to term, we also offer material aid support. So we offer diapers, wipes when they are donated, hint, hint, and clothing and other just baby care items that people might need. And all of that is free to the community, so we don't charge anyone for those services. We also have an adoption department. That is where I work. And so we work with expectant and birth parents throughout the whole process of making an adoption plan. And we also provide lifelong support for them for as long as they might need it, because as everyone, I'm assuming, can imagine, it's very, very difficult to make an adoption plan for your child. Very emotional thing, and so we do offer that support for them, and that also is all free to them as well. So because all of these services are free, we do rely on donations to support the work that we do. That's very, very important. And so we run our baby bottle fundraiser from Mother's Day to Father's Day every year, and this year we are doing it digitally. So in the past, if you've been here before, you've seen like the little tiny baby bottles that were normally in the back, and you take them and fill them with change. We have switched to a digital model this year for many reasons, and so we're excited about that change. So I think, yes, there's a QR code up on the screen. If you would like to donate, we would definitely appreciate that. If you have been involved in the past and you're just not really sure, like, how much you've given in the past or how much to give now, but you would like to give, a good kind of reference point is that kind of our average baby bottle that we've gotten in the past is about $30. So if you want to do something comparable to filling up a bottle, that would be going, scanning the QR code and donating $30. Obviously you can do more and that would be grateful. We'd be very, very grateful for that. But if you're looking to do something comparable, that $30 is probably the goal for you. If you have any questions about New Hope Family Services or any of the work that we do, please feel free to see me after the service.
Thank you. Stay right here. Stay right here. Also, in addition to this, Holly is stepping in to lead our Every Child initiative here at the church. And so we're excited about that as we partner with other churches and our family of churches that are seeking to take responsibility to care for vulnerable children and families in our community. So we're excited to have you step into this role. Let's pray for her. Let's pray for New Hope together. And please hit that QR code and let's give. Great? Good. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Holly and her willingness to just step forward today and really into this new role. We pray that you bless her and give her strength and courage as she leads and give her discernment and wisdom as well as to how to lead us and mobilize us into these very important matters. Lord, we pray for New Hope and that you would provide for their needs. We're grateful for their presence and their ministry in Central New York and ask that you would use this fundraiser to just help support this free, good work that they provide in Syracuse. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, Holly, so much. It's good for us to get behind these very important ministries in our community. And I know for the last 10 years at Renovation, this is something we've committed to. And we look forward to continuing that. So please do what you're able to do, and let's get behind this crucial ministry. We are in the book of Proverbs together. So grab your Bibles. We're opening up to chapter 3. We are in verse 13 through 35 today. Proverbs chapter 3, 13 through 35. This is our sixth sermon in this series. At this point, we can start to get a sense of what Solomon is trying to hold out for us as the people of God, right? He is holding out for us the wisdom of God. And he's doing so in contrast to the wisdom of the world. In some ways, we could see that he's presenting to us two ways to live. The way of wisdom and the way of folly. And we're starting to see as well a pattern that Solomon is speaking to us as the sons and daughters of God. Right? That powerful phrase, my son. He's speaking to us with the affection of a father. And so we don't want to miss that. He is a concerned, loving father pointing his son, the children of God, down the path of wisdom because he wants to lead the people of God into his blessing. Those two things are connected. I want you to just see that for a moment. We're going to talk about that at length this morning. The blessing of God is found in the wisdom of God. And that's what we're beginning to see, is that this father is not just trying to make the lives of his children miserable, as kids often feel, right? The things you're telling me, you're trying to make me miserable, Dad. No. It's the opposite. He's fighting for joy. He's pointing his children down the path of God's blessing. And that is in wisdom, the wisdom of God. And so that's what we're going to see today. He's saying to us, see and seek the blessing of God in the wisdom of God. The world holds out for you lesser and false blessings. And he's saying, that's a scam. Don't go down that road. Follow God's wisdom. And so the question becomes, why? Why should we see and seek the blessing of God and the wisdom of God? Well, we have three reasons today in our passage, Proverbs chapter 3, 13 through 35. Three reasons to see and seek the blessing of God in the wisdom of God. Listen to what Solomon says in verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her hand, her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. And by his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are his confidence, are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners, he is scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. This is the word of the Lord. And everyone said, amen. Join me in prayer. Father, we ask that your spirit now would speak to us. There is so much here for us. May your spirit be active in our hearts. Show us who you are. Show us Christ. Fill us with your spirit now. We are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. When we talk about the idea of a blessed person from a biblical perspective, we're talking about an individual that lives in the joy of God's favor. If you were with us with Matthew, in the Matthew series, you would remember us walking through the Beatitudes, where Jesus talks about who the blessed people are. And here we have another beatitude of sorts. We are being told by Solomon, who are the people that live in the joy of God's favor? That's what we're being told. And you could even translate it, happy is. Happy is the man or the woman. There's a happiness to it. Now, please, when we hear the word happy, we begin to think about the temporal, fleeting happiness that is tied to our subjective feelings and our circumstances. That's not what the scriptures are talking about here. But don't miss it. He's holding out for us true, lasting happiness. If you want to be happy for real, and you want it to last, and you want it to be so much more than just your feelings and tied to your circumstances that go up and down and in some ways are unpredictable, if you really want to know what it is to live in the joy of God's favor, you're going to be going after wisdom. Why? He tells us, verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding. That's the objective reality that God grants to those who seek wisdom from his hand. He grants wisdom, and that wisdom is that which provides the blessing, the true and lasting happiness that we long for. And so he's saying that the one who finds wisdom, the wisdom of God, is the one who is living in the joy of God's favor. That's interesting, right? Of all the things that Solomon could hold out for his for the people of God, for his son, for us today, he says it's found in the wisdom of God. On what basis can he say that? Well, he tells us, verse 14, it's based on wisdom's incomparable value. Why is the person who finds wisdom blessed? For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and the profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. He's holding out for those who listen today something of incomparable value, the wisdom of God. He's saying that's where blessing is, because of its value. He's saying to us that the profit in the gain of wisdom is better than anything worldly wealth can afford. And here we are living in the affluence of America, and we are going after what we think is the good, happy life, which is the suburban life that many of us enjoy, of the cars and the houses and the vacations and the retirements and all the experiences that money can buy us. That's blessing, is what America holds out for us. But he says, no, it's wisdom. It's found in wisdom. And think of who's saying this. It's Solomon. Solomon had everything. There's one thing we think about Solomon. It's his wealth, his gold. He had it all. Power, fame, possessions, rule and authority. But we also remember that when God gave him the opportunity to get anything from him, what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. And in many ways, Solomon is holding out for us a lifelong experience. And he's saying to each and every one of us, he's saying, listen, I have it all. I have wealth and I have wisdom from God. He granted it to me. And I'm setting them side by side and they're in the balance. And I'm trying to tell you that compared to all the possessions and wealth of the world, wisdom is more. Wisdom is more valuable. It's more precious, the wisdom of God. Matter of fact, wisdom has life and riches in her hands. Again, it shows that we often are going after that which is lesser. Why settle for that which is less? Riches and honor, long life. Literally, wisdom holds both of them in her hand. She wants to grant them to us, but we can't have it if we ignore her wisdom. It's in her that we find what we're looking for, that is true and lasting, that gives life, that gives pleasantness and peace. We all want to delight in the way that we live and the things that we enjoy. We all want to know peace, that idea of shalom, where everything is the way that life is supposed to be. And he's saying, it's found in wisdom. Wisdom. He goes on to say, she's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. What a powerful image, right? The tree of life. Where have we heard of that before? Genesis chapter 2, right? Where else do we hear of the tree of life? Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 22. And where else do we see that? In Proverbs chapter 3. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, is a source of life. That gives it such incomparable value for us. Bishop Sanderson says, the tree of life was the means ordained of God for the preservation of lasting life and continual vigor of health before man sinned, back in the garden. So true wisdom maintains man in his spiritual life of God's grace and in the communion of his spirit. Friends, all he's saying is, if we're looking for life, eternal life, the life that we all long for, we need to look for it in wisdom. And that's what gives wisdom, God's wisdom, its incomparable value for life. See and seek the blessing of God in the wisdom of God. It has incomparable value. I'll never forget when our family went to London 3 years ago when I was on sabbatical. And we found ourselves doing a tour at London Tower. If you know anything about London, UK, whatever, you know what I'm talking about already. Well, I'm just trying to tell you, that's where they keep the crown jewels. I don't know. It was one of those days. I was in one of those moods. We're at this amazing place, right, of great history, taking selfies, everything, but it's like 11 o'clock and we get in line to see the crown jewels. Raise your hand if you've ever seen the crown jewels. Okay. And by the way, oh, you've seen them. Wow, that's so great. By the way, you can't take pictures, so I can't show you a picture, okay? All right? There's no pictures, all right? You're not allowed to do that. Well, we're in line waiting for the crown jewels. And my stomach starts to growl, all right? And it's a long line, and it's going slow, right? And you know what we're waiting for, and yet all I can see is the snack shop to my right. But if you get out of line, you can't get back in line unless you want to go to the back. You know what I'm talking about? So this whole time, I'm going through this sarcastic dialogue in my head, like, this is ridiculous. Why are we here? Who cares about diamonds and rubies and gold? Who cares? There's sandwiches right there. You get where this is going. Well, I think we waited a good 90 minutes. I think Doreen was disgusted with me because of my whining and complaining about how hungry I was. These jewels are valued as priceless. If you're going to add a value to it, most people say 4 to 7 billion in jewels and gold. I was willing to trade the sight and enjoyment of that for a British lunch. By the way, they don't know food well. That's what we do. That's what we do. The Lord is holding out for us something of incomparable value. And we're to seek his blessing in his wisdom. And yet we so easily are led astray by lesser sources of happiness and joy. Friend, don't settle for false lesser joys. Don't be scammed by the world. Let us be people who sing with Fanny Crosby. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abides forever, through eternal years the same. See and seek the blessing of God in the wisdom of God because of its valuable nature for life. We also see in verse 19 and 20, another reason to seek the blessing of God and the wisdom of God. It is foundational to life. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Friends, the wisdom of God is not only valuable to life, it's foundational to life. Psalm 104, verse 24 tells us the same. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Jeremiah 10, verse 12. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by what? His wisdom. And by his understanding, stretched out the heavens. Friends, the wisdom of God is foundational to life. How could we assume that we could seek true life, joy in life, whether temporal or eternal, apart from the wisdom of God? To do so is like swimming upstream from the way the world is intended and made to work. I love the way John Kitchen says this. He says, the wisdom of God that guides us in life is the same wisdom that he employed in the formation of all things. This means to walk in God's wisdom is to walk in harmony with the created order and all of God's word. By implication, this means that if you live your life or seek ultimate joy apart from the wisdom of God, as he reveals in his word, it's to be in disharmony with God, his creative and redemptive purposes. Talk about a fool's errand. Trying to live your life, to build a life apart from the wisdom of God. You're swimming upstream. Jesus talked about you're building your house on the sand, not on the rock. Guys, if God made the world in wisdom, why would you think you for one second that you could build a life apart from his wisdom, apart from his son Jesus Christ, who indeed is life, who is the wisdom of God? So if you're here today and you're living your life apart from the wisdom of God revealed in his word and demonstrated in the love of his son Jesus Christ, you are swimming upstream with God. You are in disharmony with God's created purposes. Repent. This is a gracious call for you to repent and to turn from that way of living, to see where true joy and blessing and meaning is found, and that's in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, embraced by faith. And if you're here today and you are seeking the wisdom of God, you're here because you're hungry for wisdom in your life. You're here to hear the preached word, to receive grace from God today. Know this, God is right now giving you the strength to endure, right? He's giving you what you need to live in harmony with God's, with his very creative and redemptive purposes. That you are, in many ways, living in a way that is consistent with what God is trying to do in the world. So not only is it valuable, it's foundational. And that, I think, brings us to the last 15 verses, which I think is really the last section here. This wisdom that has such incomparable value and is inherently foundational to life is a wisdom that must be applied to life. It must be applied in life. That kind of wisdom, which Solomon is holding out for us today, is something that we must apply. Let me say it this way. You must apply it. You're either going to apply it through your outright rejection of it or your integration of it. And obviously, we know that Solomon desires for us to open our hearts, to receive and to be instructed, to be led, to be pointed down the path of wisdom. And so let's seek the Spirit for us to integrate through application his wisdom. He says, my son, there's that language again. Again, we're invited into the most shocking grace that God the Father speaks to us as his children. Even more so, we're welcome into this, the sweetness of all relationships, that we, by faith in Jesus Christ, will be adopted into his family and be called sons and daughters of the living God. If you're here today and you place your faith in Jesus, you are a child of God, and God addresses you as sons and daughters. Don't miss out on that gem, that precious jewel today. To know God, to trust God, and to be in right relationship with God, to be designated and defined by that sonship, daughtership. Now that we're children, we can sit and listen to a Father that speaks today, to our Father in heaven. And on 7 occasions, this loving, concerned, wise Father tells his children, he tells us, do not do something. And right away, something happened inside each and every one of your hearts. Because when somebody tells you to not do something, you all of a sudden want to now. Am I wrong? Somebody, why is Solomon being so negative? Don't do this and don't do that. Can we be more positive? Right, we love the positive affirmations of the scriptures and the gospel, don't we? Oh man, and rightly so. There are so many promises in the word of God for sinners like you and me. So many statements in the word of God where God just says, I will do something. Like, I will never leave you or forsake you. Right? That's a powerful thing. The grace of promise. But today, we hear another grace that on the surface doesn't sound like grace. It's the grace of prohibition, not the grace of promise. The grace of God that tells each and every one of us, no, don't do this. I know your propensity. I know your sinful condition. I know your flesh. I know your rebellious heart. Don't do this. You're going to want to do this. It's in keeping with sinful human nature to do this. Solomon, in some ways, is an experienced sinner, not just a wise sage. He's saying, I've been down this road before. I know what you're thinking and feeling. I understand the intensity of the temptation that you have in your flesh. But son, listen. Daughter, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Don't miss the grace of God who says, don't do it. It's like a parent who sees their toddler running into the road and says, don't take another step. That's not a parent fighting for misery. That's a parent fighting for joy. Amen? That's what Solomon's doing. It may feel like he's being miserable, grumpy. He's just trying to do that oppressive thing, restrict our behavior, right? We don't like that today. We don't like people telling us what to do, and surely we don't like people telling us what not to do. And the more you tell me not to do it, the more I want to do it and prove to you that I'll be fine no matter what. Some of you have that rebellious spirit. I know I do. When we're confronted with the law of God that says no, it's a mirror that shows us our twisted desires. So don't miss the grace of prohibition. Don't miss out. Orient your heart to be receptive to that. And I'm going to try to work through these seven prohibitions as concisely in a summarizing way as I can. There are seven prohibitions in 21 through 35. But really, I think there are two categories that maybe be helpful that Solomon speaks to his son about. He speaks to us about. Number one, in verse 21 through 26, he is instructing us as to what not to do in relationship to God. And verses 27 through 35, he is instructing us as to what not to do in relationship with others. Are we shocked? The consistency of the Word of God, that here we have Solomon really guiding us, each one of us, into the great commandment, love God, love neighbor. But he's coming at it from a prohibitive angle. You're not going to want to love God, right? You're going to want to lose sight of him being the source of all that is good and blessing. You're going to get distracted. You're going to have a propensity to turn your focus away from God, away from his word, to the right and to the left. You're going to be so easily distracted by lesser false forms of hope and blessing. Son, I know you're going to be like that, Solomon says, because I'm like that. So my son, don't lose sight of these. Don't lose your focus. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, verse 21. They'll be life for your soul, adornment for your neck. Then you will be secure. Then your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. He knows we're distracted. He knows the flesh can pull us away. But he's saying, listen. If you stay focused on the Lord, you keep your eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, if you keep your mind attentive to his word, if you do that, you'll be secure. So many of us are fighting for a sense of security, the deepest part of who we are. And circumstantially, things get difficult sometimes. He's saying, my son, in the midst of all of that, don't lose focus. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. And I understand you're prone to be afraid. I know your capacity for fear. I mean, we're a culture consumed by anxiety. It's not new. Right? Humans have such a capacity for anxiety and fear. But Solomon's saying, don't be afraid of the sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. many ways, this could be circumstantial, like threatening circumstances, threatening people are going to come at you. You feel scared about that. But actually what it's getting at here is the ruin of the wicked, the wrath of God that is coming on sin. He's saying you don't need to fear that because you're a son and daughter of the living God. You have no need to fear. So don't be afraid of the terror and the ruin that's coming upon the wicked. Listen, trust the Lord. The Lord will be your confidence. Is the Lord your confidence today in the face of the Lord's coming judgment? I've got nothing but the righteousness of Christ. I don't have works, no riches. Do you have anything but the righteousness of Christ? It is the Lord that is our confidence in the face of judgment. We have no need to fear, friend. Sons and daughters of the living God, do not fear. Luther says, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear. For God has willed his truth to triumph through us. Amen. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Fixed on the Lord. Faith in the Lord. That's where wisdom leads us, to a place of focus and faith. Wisdom leads us to love God, to focus on him, to have faith in him. But we see these last five prohibitions seek to keep us faithful in our relationships with others. True wisdom is not ideas only. True wisdom is not information only. True wisdom, as we see, is integrated into our life in such a way that it affects our relationship with God and ultimately the way that we relate to one another. Some of the wisest people are not always the most intelligent. But you know what? You see their wisdom and how they live, and as we see, in how they love. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Friends, that is just simply a way to call us to faithfulness, to obligations. When something is due to someone from you, pay them. Don't withhold it. Fulfill your obligations. Be faithful to one another. Follow through. Have integrity in your dealings with one another. He goes on to say, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Just when we thought that we had no obligation to kindness, we're corrected. He's saying, you have something that the Lord's entrusted to you? Don't tell your neighbor, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Don't delay kindness when it's in your power to do it, when you have it already. Delaying the extension of kindness towards someone who needs it when you have it is a foolish way to live as a steward of what God has given to you. Has God delayed in giving you all that he's entrusted to you through his son, Jesus Christ? He's not delayed. Is there someone in your life that has a need? Man, it's easy to put it off till tomorrow. It's easy to make excuses. It's easy to forget when a brother or sister's in need. When a family in your community has their house burned down. When you're aware of the 500 kids in foster care system that need care and support. When you hear about the missionary lacking sufficient support in the budgetary needs of their church. When your local church is behind budget and you realize the Lord has immensely supplied your need, there is not much to pray about. Just give. Give. Don't delay. Giving to need and gospel mission should be just as much of an impulse in the people of God as the constant impulses we have to spend on ourselves. Imagine that. Don't say, I'll give it tomorrow. Give it now when you have it. He goes on to say, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. He knows our selfish, sinful hearts. He knows what plans we're capable of devising for our own good in relationship to other people. He says that violates integrity. It erodes trust and it lacks love and it's inconsistent with the nature of God. He goes on to say, do not contend with a man for no reason. He's aware of our often conflicted predisposition. I grew up in a home where conflict was just the default setting. Bored today? Start an argument. Is that some of your homes? Right? It's like we want to fight about something. We want to agitate. The reason we get in so many conflicts on the outside, always fighting about opinions or this or that, or always this angst that we feel, is because something's going on inside of us. We're conflicted inside. The real issue, right, James chapter 4, is not out there. The real issue is in our hearts. He's saying wisdom, the life of blessing, is one that stays away from contention. There are things to fight about. I'm not saying that we should cower away. There are real battles to fight in this world. There is a battle for righteousness and wickedness, and we should engage in that spiritual dynamic in the world. There are things to get worked up about. But we find ourselves getting in fights and conflict for no reason when people have done us no harm. Let us be peacemakers and peacekeepers. Amen. And then he goes on. Verse 31 through 35, do not envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways. These last four verses seem to bring this whole passage to a summarizing end as well. Don't envy a man of violence. Don't adopt such a way of living. We think people are cool because they're strong and tough. And yet they use that strength to hurt other people. Right? And we look up to them. And Solomon's saying, don't do that. There's a greater joy and strength. He says, such people who live that way, who are wicked and violent, they're an abomination to the Lord. But by contrast, his blessing, there it is again, his blessing is upon the righteous, the humble, the wise. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners, he's scornful, but to the humble, he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. Friends, there are two kinds of people. There are two kinds of paths. Again, Solomon continues to present them to us. And where does he want his son to be? Where does he want us to be? As the children of God, he wants us to be righteous. He wants to lead us on the path of humility. He wants to lead us toward and point us to honor. He wants us to know the Lord's blessing. He wants us to know true and lasting happiness because we know the Lord's favor. Friend, when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to our relationship with one another, it's about applying and integrating wisdom in life. And by the way, the first nine chapters are somewhat general and introductory. I think there's 13, 14 weeks throughout the summer. We're going to be getting down into the nitty-gritty even more about applying Proverbs to relationships and friendships and our words and providence. All these particular things that have direct application to our Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, we're going to see that all the more. The point really that we want to make here this morning is that we're to see and seek the blessing of God and the wisdom of God because of its application to every single aspect of our lives, to our relationship with God, to our relationship with one another. So where are you seeking ultimate joy and happiness today? Where are you looking? Solomon's saying, don't fall for the scam. Don't give yourself over to the lesser false joys of this world. You must look to the Lord. You must look to His Word. You must seek His face. Do so in relationship to the people of God, in dependence on the Spirit of God. The Lord has given you His wisdom. It's right here. I didn't even tell you how to find the wisdom. I just told you where it is. It's in the Word. It's not a mystery. It's not a secret hidden from you. Where do I find blessing? Where do I seek God's wisdom? It's in His Word. So seek it. Meditate on it. And the hope that's held out for us is that as we do, we'll know and receive and enjoy all of God's blessing. You'll know what life really is all about. True and lasting happiness will be found in Him. If you're here today and you've given your life over to rejecting the Lord's will and wisdom, you've given your life over to the path of folly, what an opportunity you have today to run into the arms of the Savior Jesus Christ and receive Him and to be pardoned and forgiven. Because some of you here today are saying, listen, I've given my life to the wrong path, and I'm reaping those consequences in my life. But right here, right now, it's not too late to change course by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not without hope because of Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. See Him for all that He is. Receive His grace. And may the Spirit of God radically transform who you are and how you live and set your life in Christ on the path of wisdom. There's nothing more valuable, nothing more foundational. And I pray by the Spirit, nothing more beautifully and wonderfully applicable to life than that. Amen? Amen. Join me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this word. So much here. In some ways, I feel like I've said too much. In other ways, I feel like I've said too little. But Lord, we trust your word that it would shape us, that it will awaken in us good, godly affections, that we would see our folly and error and run into your gracious and loving arms. Lord, grant us repentance, grant us endurance, and please bring us home to the day that we will know your honor, your blessing, and your grace. Welcomed into your presence forever. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.